It's the Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6:30, Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune gives us some insight onto the game. He's also the host of the Take the North podcast, which is our Odyssey Sports podcast up in Chicago. Does a great job with that. You'll hear some of our conversation coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, it is 6 o'clock on Friday, and the Commanders, good gracious, the Commanders are playing. What, Anthony? Don't look at me like that.
Oh, my gosh. The Commander. Ron Rivera is not our head coach anymore, Craig.
I know he is not.
He has been gone for 10 months.
It is Friday. It is 6 o'clock. I have done 3,472 hours of talking this week.
Okay.
My mouth is – I need a little water.
There you go. There you go.
Commanders. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Peter Piper picked a pike of people. There's a game with a burgundy and gold team. Just hit the button, Anthony.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, on Fridays, here's what we do. Instead of the biggest storylines, we kind of try to predict the biggest storylines. Which players do we think are going to be the most impactful in the game on Sunday? Quarterbacks are ineligible. We can pick players from either team. And I've already told you that I'm going to start with the first overall pick with...
Number one.
Brian Robinson. I did think about in the break getting a little cutesy and picking Austin Eckler, but there is nothing like the down-in, down-out domination of a smash-mouth running back who's just going to keep you on schedule. And that is whether Jaden Daniels plays or especially if Marcus Mariota plays. Because Jaden has shown a propensity on the rare times that the Commanders' offense has been behind the chains this year to be able to get them out of it. And sometimes it's with his legs. Sometimes it is with his arm. Sometimes it's just a little bit of both, like a little step over a defender who's rushing and let's go find a guy in the flat or down the field or... It's 3rd and 13. Let me throw a ball 60 yards in the air to Terry McLaurin down at the 5-yard line. Like, he's done it all. If it's Marcus Mariota, you got to make sure that you are on schedule. Keep the playbook open. Keep the defense honest. Keep them out of some more exotic blitz looks. And I think that it's going to be essential that Brian Robinson has a big day. I also think he can have a big day. Chuba Hubbard, big day. A lot of other backs. Bless me, Anthony.
I was looking sneeze. Right. I looked left. I said, hold. Yeah. Bless you, Craig.
Knock my camera focus out. Can't be having that. Anyway, Brian Robinson should be able to run a lot. He's number one. I sneezed in the middle of it. No Achu matter. Brian Robinson, number one.
Yeah, I think that was the obvious one, Greg.
Number two.
I think this was sort of kind of obvious as well. And if you guys know, with our pick six, we don't only have to pick player from our team. We also can pick players from the opposing team. And the guy I have circled is that boy, DJ Moore. I think last year, the game...
He just caught another pass on Ron Rivera's defense, actually.
Oh, you saw that too? I did too.
Yeah. Jack Del Rio just got fired again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this guy, he went for 8 catches, 230 yards, 3 TDs on just 10 targets. So we know how explosive, how dynamic he can be against our cornerbacks. And it didn't matter who was checking him. BSJ, Emmanuel Forbes, Kendall, it did not matter if it was man, zone. We cannot let this guy be too explosive and kill us the way he did last year. And it also sucks that we're wearing the same exact jerseys against the team we wore those jerseys against last year. We did.
Yes. I think that is correct. I think that DJ Moore is a fantastic pick because he and, frankly, Keenan Allen are guys that I think can really hurt Washington. Both guys are great. You know, good. Or Allen's case, a great route runner.
Mm-hmm.
Moore just is the physical kind of specimen that sometimes has given this defense a lot of problems. That's the thing that scares me the most. Like, more than Chicago's defense against Washington's offense, I'm scared of Chicago's playmakers. And especially because I think the best thing to do with the quarterback is to give him some chances. Like, I think the best thing you could do with Caleb is kind of make him beat you, especially deep. He has been really good, really efficient. Like, his heat map chart, Belichick did a whole thing on this on Inside the NFL the other night, and you look at the next-gen stats and the completion chart, like, there ain't a lot of green dots down the field, man. And so, yeah, he has layered a couple balls deep, but I think he's 5 of 27 on balls this year past 20 yards in the air. So, do you want to risk that if BSJ's out there on DJ Moore? Like, I don't know. Mike Sander's still on a guy like Keenan Allen who's 6'3". Like, that scares me. So I don't know how Joe's going to play this. I think it's really interesting, and I think DJ Moore, obviously, as a guy who is not having as good of a year. His route tree this year compared to – dude, I remember seeing – like, if you look at his route tree last year on paper, it looked like you gave, like, you gave a monkey like some kind of drug to make him really hyper. Pick your drug of choice if you have knowledge of those things, and an Etch-a-Sketch. And this year it looks like you gave a 4-year-old some Quaaludes and an Etch-a-Sketch. Very different route trees.
Yeah,
that's the worst analogy I've ever made on this show.
Yeah, I'm trying to put two and two together, and I think I know where you're getting at. But
a lot of squiggly lines on one, not a lot of squiggly lines on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simplified, a lot easier. And that is the one thing that I think gives me hope for both sides of the ball. The Chicago coordinators are kind of predictable. Now, they've been very good at some of the stuff they're predictable at, and execution's the name of the game. But I do think that it makes game planning a little bit easier. Okay, I'm also going to pick a Chicago Bear number three.
Number three.
In fact, can I pick two, Anthony?
Sure.
Okay, I don't think they're going to be on your list. I'm going to pick Josh Blackwell. Do you know who Josh Blackwell is?
He is the Bears' starting left tackle.
No, that is incorrect. Do you know who Elijah Hicks is?
He's the Bears' starting left tackle.
That is incorrect, Anthony.
Guard.
That is the two gentlemen who will start at nickel and safety instead of Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker this weekend. I think it is a good day for the Commanders if you know their names by the end of it. They're the dudes that Tony Romo's circling going, this guy just got knocked out the club because Ben Sinnott came around on a block and carried him off the sideline. Sam Cosby's pulling around and getting to these guys. Like, Nick Allegretti smushed one of them in the hole. If you know their names because they're missing a bunch of tackles in the run game, my number one guy, Brian Robinson Jr., is having a really good day. They don't blitz a lot. Gordon's the guy they blitz with. So how is Josh Blackwell as a blitzer? They rely on their safeties in the run game. Brisker's great at it. How's Elijah Hicks? They have, you know, these two guys are apparently solid players. I was texting with one of my buddies up in Chicago. Like, they've got some depth, but they're not nearly the run players that Gordon, who is one of the best in the league as a nickel against the run, and Brisker, who's one of the best safeties in the league, period, are. The Chicago Bears defense has been super stout. Those two dudes are an enormous part of it. And so knowing that you still have Jalen Johnson on the outside and a lot of really good players on the field for that Chicago defense, can you exploit the ones that aren't? Whether it's getting Terry inside and getting a couple matchups against Blackwell and hitting some stuff there, whether it's a guy like Luke getting more involved, OZ getting more involved, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But I think specifically in the run game, can you run towards the side where those dudes are and take advantage of some backups on the field? So Josh Blackwell and Elijah Hicks. Didn't think that's where we were going to go.
No.
But those are two key names that I'm watching for, and those are together number three in our pick six. That means I've got one more. Anthony's got two to round it out coming up next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. We'll close out the hour with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well. on the free Odyssey app and amidst our pick six at six, where we are giving you the six players, or in this case seven, because I cheated and picked two for my number three pick. We're picking up the six players that we think will have the biggest impact in the game on Sunday. Anthony, you are up with number four. Who you got?
Number four.
Number four, Craig. So the Bears have this guy on their team that used to be a former Washington player. He goes by the name Montez Sweat.
That's where he went? I'm just kidding, everybody. I was here. I know. How's he doing this year, Anthony?
He has 2.5 sacks on the season. But I think when players play their former teams, they tend to try to get off, you know, sort of kind of make them personal games. And I'd rather that not be the case. So my fourth guy, or our fourth guy, Andrew Wiley. I think he has a huge matchup. We've seen also Montez Sweat versus Wiley in camp. We see the problems Montez Sweat causes. So I think it's going to be on Wiley and, you know, Cliff to, you know, try to keep Montez Sweat in check. You know, maybe using the running backs to chip, maybe even having a tight end over there to, you know, help out, or simply having Sam Cosmi also, you know, bump over a couple of times to help. But I think keeping him in check is definitely going to be huge for whoever's at quarterback's success.
I definitely think that there will be a lot of help towards Montez Sweat. I mean, he has had a good season. He is, let's see, PFF-wise, in total, he's grading out a 67, so he's in the green this year. Pass rush grade, 66, that's in the green as well. Run defense, 62, like, he's just solid across the board, which is his worst season since his rookie year, technically via PFF grade, but it's, you know, that's all relative. Pressure wise, he's got the 2.5 sacks. They've got him on PFF with 18 total hurries, pressures total, the 3 sacks and then 15 hurries. Mm. Batted down a couple of balls as well. And he does mostly, to your point, line up in the same spot. It's worth noting that a couple weeks ago, they did move him to the other side on a higher number of snaps than anybody or any other week so far. I don't know what the reason was. I was just kind of looking at his alignments real quick as you were talking. But he is mostly going to be on Wiley's side. And, you know, we saw those two battle in camp last year, and Wiley obviously had some trouble with Montez, but it's a very different situation in a game when you have to worry about the quarterback run, when you have to worry about, you know, chip help and all the things that Andrew Wiley didn't get last year because Eric Bieniemy just sent him on an island, and that was kind of the offense. I think Sweat's also really interesting when Wiley's not blocking him, specifically zone read, when no one's blocking him. He's one of the rare guys that is athletic enough to play the dive and the keep, and so his ability to single-handedly disrupt the run game in the zone read game could be huge. So do you just go to the other side, or do you trust that Marcus or Jaden is good enough with the ball to fake him out and get him to overcommit? So I think it's going to be an interesting week. They know, you know, obviously there's some guys over here that know him. Wiley practiced against him a lot, so there is that experience. But I just don't think that the way that they've done things this year, they're going to leave him on an island a ton without something else going. Like, there's probably a snap or two that he'll get blocked by John Bates on the backside of a play action. But, like, it'll be because the quarterback is rolling the other way and then setting up a new pocket away from Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, just, hey, back up and guard him and block him. Like, get your pass set. Let's go, buddies. No, if that's happening, things have gone wrong. It's bad down at distance, and there's other problems that you're going to have to deal with as well. Good choice. Andrew Wiley is the number... what was that? Number four for the pick six at six.
Number five.
Who do we want to go with here, Anthony? I think that I am going to go with Dorrance Armstrong, which could wind up being a silly thing that we don't talk about on Monday if he doesn't play. But he really has. Well, actually, I'll be safer. I'll go with Dante Fowler. But I think both guys obviously can have a huge impact if they play. But the thing with where I'm kind of getting at here is there is some opportunities to rush on the Chicago offensive line. They've invested quite a bit in it. It's pretty good, but I think you need to win some one-on-ones and get home and pressure Caleb Williams, because he is a guy that will freak out a little bit in the pocket. One, he'll start running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and if you can catch him, great. You get a big sack, and he'll minus 18 kind of play. Two, he will, like, there's a couple throws that he makes, and some of them are his interceptions this year, where he gets a guy pushed in his lap, because he's not the biggest guy. He's not Jaden at 6'4", or one of these big, tall quarterbacks that just stands there and can see over the pocket. He's a little bit on the smaller side. He's, like, closer to 6'1", 6'. And so if he gets a guy pushed into his lap, he'll just kind of be like, ah, and kind of flick the ball. Now, the bad news is he's so wicked talented with arm strength that he can flick the ball places that it shouldn't be able to go, and it can get there on time on target. The good news is sometimes it doesn't go there, and he'll just flick the ball off into no man's land, and you can come down with the pick. So I think Fowler going against, Darnell Wright, their first-round pick last year, like, that's a matchup I like for Washington. Fowler is an experienced guy who's on a bit of a heater going against a young guy. Like, Wright's a good player. He's a great athlete, but he got a couple times in their last game that I saw. So I think whoever kind of lines up on that, like, I guess I could have just said Darnell Wright and gone kind of what you just did, but considering how well Fowler's playing, how well he understands offenses, as we saw last week, that jump inside that he did a bunch of times, I think Fowler could be a huge impact in this game, and obviously Armstrong as well coming off the edge. And that's also a way I can avoid picking Frankie Louvu like I do every other week. That makes things slightly more interesting, but obviously he's in that mix as well.
I think one thing to like add and note with those guys, their motor. Caleb Williams is a guy that loves to extend the play. So, you know, their energy, their effort, I think is something that, you know, we shouldn't overlook just because of we're going to need it.
No, that's a great point. And by the way, Dante Fowler this year, he is, where is he at? Grading out of 71. So I wanted to look that up because, you know, oh my God, they miss Montez Sweat. Yeah, I mean, Montez Sweat's always nice to have. He's a good football player, but 2.5 sacks, that's what Fowler had like last week. Fowler grading out as a better player. So I think I just, you know, throwing that out there, that they're finding ways without the talent. And yeah, would they love to have someone stupid talented? Of course, but they're finding ways, especially as the year goes on and some of these guys get a little more used to playing with each other.
Number six, I was a little bit torn on this one, but we already talked about, you know, DJ Moore. We talked about Keenan Allen, some of their playmakers. The guy we haven't talked about is DeAndre Swift, and I'm thinking Jeremy Chinn's presence in the box is going to be instrumental for the defense. Again, DeAndre Swift, very dangerous out in space. And as long as, like, we limit him, we actually come up, we make the tackles. We've seen Jeremy Chinn miss tackles early in the season. And as of late, he's gotten into a groove. He's, you know, been more consistent of a tackler. But DeAndre Swift is still a serious threat. And if he's going to be in the box, we're going to have to be able to, you know, make shorthanded tackles. But also in coverage, I would think he's the guy. If not him, Quan, I'm not sure.
Well, I was going to say, so I think the two guys that I would highlight at the safety position are Chinn and Percy Butler.
Okay.
And that is because both their presence in the run game, like you said, with Chinn, but also I think those are the guys that are on Cole Kmet, who is a really good weapon for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great call, and I would add what Kmet brings. You had the stat earlier. What, he's got 26 catches on 29 targets?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
It's crazy. And for a rookie quarterback to have that safety blanket, like we see it here with Ertz, there's a real value to that. But Kmet's also a guy that can get up the field. Like, he can get vertical. Mm-hmm. He's got a little juice to him. And they find ways to, like, you know, hey, there's one play that Kmet had, I think, a touchdown on. If not, it was like a huge gain down to the five, where they faked a toss one way, faked a bubble back the other, and the defense is like, whoa, whoa. And then Kmet just leaks up the center of the field.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's... that's so open. I think that's a good call. I would say I wish I had thought of this 5 seconds ago. If I could go back and replace number five, I'm gonna just make a note here for us on Monday, because your DeAndre Swift point made me think of this. Fedarian Mathis, I'm curious of his usage this week. I think he probably gets, if I was Joe Witt Jr., which I'm not, I'm starting him. I'm starting him next to Daron Payne, because with Fowler, like, Payne's got the great pass rush combo. They're starting to rush together really well.
Yep.
But against the run, they need someone who's just a bigger body who's hard to move. And I would rather have Newton have one of those guys in Sheldon Day when they're in. And I'd rather have Big Phil be with Daron and let him be a guy that can't be moved as easily, which makes the job easier for Luvu and Wagner and Chin, because the holes are not nearly as big to try to defend, which is where Chin got in trouble earlier in the season.
Yeah, so Phil was the other guy that I was thinking about. But my thing is, in my mind, I'm thinking you're not going to try to run at Phil Mathis. You know. They use Phil. They use Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you can try to not run at him, but even then, like, everybody's involved in a run play.
True.
And like, you, unless you were to just run away outside all the time, which invites its own, you know, struggles, because those plays are longer developing. There's a big risk of loss typically trying to get north and south as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a guy like Swift, who doesn't see the cutback lanes always so great.
Yeah.
Now if he does and he hits it, like, he's a home run threat, but his vision's not amazing on that stuff. Just being able to hold a double team for longer and occupy two lets Wagner and Luvu run.
Yeah.
And Chin run, and some of these guys get there from the backside and cleaner angles. So, you know, it's hard. Yeah, you might not run straight at him, but that's fine as long as he's eating blocks, because that's the thing that killed this run defense earlier in the year, and I think it's gotten better the last couple of weeks. First with John in there, and then definitely last week when Phil was in there, it was even better. All right, when we get back, we got a lot more on this game with Dan Weider of Take the North. It is our Odyssey Sports Bears podcast. He also writes for the Chicago Tribune here on The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.